Well, good morning again. So before Holy Week, we finished up preaching through what we called our favorite parables, which was based on your submissions and your thoughts of your favorite parables. So before we move on from this series, which we will do soon, I thought perhaps I would preach on my favorite parable. Of course, because it's my favorite, I have mentioned it a few times and even preached on it before as well, but revisited it afresh this week and got some new insights. And so I've titled this morning's message, The Unfair Grace of God. And it comes from the parable Hannah just read, the parable of the workers in the vineyard from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. And I want to start with the first seven verses of the text to kind of engage us this morning, where it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like." And what Jesus means by that is basically saying, here's what I am like. Does that statement arrest your heart? Does it, you know, stop you in your tracks? Is this your utmost desire to know what he is like? Or would you be more excited if we started off the message this morning by saying, a healthy life is like? Or a good investment portfolio is like? Or a balanced life is like? Or the path to inner peace is like. Or for you golf fans who plan on watching golf this afternoon, the Masters is like. What excites you more? Where are your affections? We all fall short in this area, but so let's just take a moment to place our affections on Jesus. To say, Jesus, I know sometimes I pursue these other things harder than your kingdom. But Lord, would you make your kingdom my priority today, each day? Help me to long to know what the kingdom of heaven is like. So let's move on to the parable that describes what it's like. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. Denarius, we've seen this in other parables, it was a usual daily wage, a day's wage. So it's a fair wage. It's what the workers would expect. So far, so good. Everything sounds just as it should be. Then in verses 3 through 10, Jesus lays out the rest of the situation or the story. And there's five different rounds of hiring that take place at different times. I kind of had to just sketch this out as I read the parable. In a 12-hour workday, which was from sunrise to sunset, so 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., so you think we have it rough, 9 to 5, 6 to 6, that's long. But the times listed here represent roughly 6 a.m., 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., and 5 p.m. So the first workers start when they're expected to start for a full wage at 6 a.m. Then the landowner goes out at 9 a.m., and then again at noon, and then 3 p.m., and finally at 5 p.m., and finds people, quote, standing in the marketplace doing nothing, verse 3. And so he hires them too. And he goes out one last time at the 11th hour, with only 1 hour to go in the workday, and finds more standing around and says, why are you standing around? And they say, well, no one's hired us. And the landowner says, okay, you come work for me too. So the fact that these additional hires were, you know, quote, standing around doing nothing, and that no one had hired them, tells us that likely they were poor, they were maybe struggling, they were the less skilled workers, Whereas the 6 a.m. workers were, you know, the skilled, the superior, the ones people always wanted to hire, the first chosen. And so as the day goes on, you know, these early workers watch as these less skilled, less educated, less strong workers join them in the vineyard and, you know, maybe inwardly kind of sneering that they have to work with these latecomers who aren't nearly as productive or experienced. They're not a part of the in crowd that normally works. So what's going to happen? Well, verses 8 through 10 says, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired at about 5 in the afternoon, so those who worked 1 hour, came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. So at the end of the day, those who worked 1 hour received the same as those who worked 12 hours. So what will the reaction be of those who worked the full day? Well, verse 11 and 12, when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said. And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. So we saw this in some of our other parables in this series. This deadly sin of comparison, which is often joined by its sister sins of arrogance and grumbling and complaining. Comparison and complaining will blind us from the good, generous heart of God. Right, listen to the pride here. You have made them, right, those less worthy, less skilled workers, equal to us, the veterans, the experienced. It's a them versus us mentality, and it's so dangerous. When you start looking down on others, using words like those people, them, whether it's a race or a gender, an age, a nation, a socioeconomic group, whatever ideology you might use to separate them from you. And that's the root of arrogance and pride, and there's just no room for it in the kingdom of God. When you start thinking, you know, what do they know based on someone's age, whether young or old, nationality, income, political alignment, job status, spiritual maturity, and you start to compare, to feel self-righteous, to be puffed up with pride. And I think if our hearts are truly soft and open, we will see and hopefully unearth this attitude in our hearts. I mean, for me, it's there when I see another church that's, you know, growing like crazy, or another leader getting attention, maybe getting invited to speak at an event, and I think, well, I know that person. They don't work as hard as I do. They don't have the education I have. They haven't been pastoring as long as I have. Why would God be choosing them, blessing that church more than me or our church? You know, they've only been working for 1 hour compared to my 12, so to speak. It's the sin of comparison, complaining, arrogance, self-pity, the feeling that I deserve that, not them. And this temptation is everywhere, and it will eat at you if you let it. You know, you see others getting more attention than yourself, attention you feel you deserve. Maybe it's here in the church when, you know, new people or new volunteers come along and, you know, you were here first. And you feel jealous or overlooked, as you see them getting attention or up front, and you think, you know, Lord, what about me? And here's the tough truth. The 6 a.m. workers actually would have preferred, would have been happier, if the late workers received less than them. They would rather deprive others of undeserved blessing and feel a sense of fairness than extend extravagant, undeserved grace and favor to others. And that's the attitude Jesus is trying to unearth in our hearts. He's leading us to this question in verse 15. So let's make our way there, starting in verse 13, where he says, "But the landowner answered one of them, 'I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius?'" The early workers. "Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave to you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. It's the same exact situation that we saw with the elder son in the parable of the lost sons, where the older son just can't get over that the younger son is receiving all the attention and grace from the father despite his failures. And it just rubs up against the elder son's sense of fairness. And he becomes bitter and angry and therefore misses out on the heart and celebration of the father. And I hope you can hear what God is saying through these parables. You know, that he doesn't love others, the latecomers, the younger son, more than he loves those who were already there, than he loves us. He's saying, you already have my love and everything you need from me, but because of that, we should be in this together, wanting everyone to have what you have. Why are you being envious because others get to experience the same generous love from me that you have had yourself? What the father wants is for the elder son and the early workers to rejoice with him in his generosity to the younger son and to the late workers. He wants us to show the same grace and generous love to others. I mean, God is just so naive as to think that we might rejoice when everyone is given the same grace. He expects joy, not jealousy, when others are blessed. That is the way of the kingdom. And like so much of our problems and our sin, it comes back to being secure in God's love for us. You know, when we know that we are loved and blessed by God, when we're secure in that, well, then our hearts are just free to be loving and generous with others, to bless them, whether deserved or undeserved. So to come back to my example, that when a church is growing or that other leader is getting attention or, you know, this church is being majorly blessed in their finances, well, maybe, you know, I feel like we're struggling. Maybe even if this other leader is new to the scene, you know, I should say, way to go, Lord. That's awesome. You are generous to be blessing that church, that person, even though they just got started, even though that pastor just came out of Bible college and I've been here 20 years, right? I mean, how awesome, Lord, that you are that generous and gracious. I know a story of a pastor who got up and was thanking, you know, the congregation, some faithful volunteers, and praising them, and apparently, you know, forgot someone, which is always the danger of getting up and publicly thanking people. You know, someone that had really borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day, verse 12. And this person was so upset about it that they left the church and never came back because they felt overlooked. And that's just a direct application of this parable. That God is saying, no, we should rejoice when others are blessed and praised, because those of us who are already loved and have experienced the grace of God, we already have all we need in Christ. And so we should be looking outward toward others, not inward on ourselves. When Jesus leaves the 99 to go after the one, are you rejoicing? And what a caring, generous, loving, thoughtful shepherd he is? Or are you back in the pen saying, well, what about me? What about my needs? I mean, the reason I love this parable so much is because, in a way, I can't stand this parable. I mean, it's maddening. It is absolutely outrageous. But I love it because it just challenges me so much. It hits me in some of my greatest sin areas. And there's so much theological truth in this parable, and it mostly comes down to grace and how unfair grace is and how it will always rub up against us a little bit. Grace, of course, is receiving something, a gift that we don't deserve. And haven't earned, not in the least. It's distinguished from, you know, mercy, which is not receiving what we do deserve, right? We deserve punishment for our sin, but in God's mercy, he doesn't give it to us. But in grace, not only does he not give us that, he gives us a gift. He blesses us. He goes above and beyond what we deserve. And the application or question from the parable is, are we able to align ourselves and our hearts with this unfair, generous grace of God and extend that same grace to others? It's very similar to the forgiveness message we did a few weeks ago. Can you forgive the way God forgives you? Can you show grace the way he shows it to you? To be filled with the overflowing generous love of God is to extend that same generous love to others. And so the question is, are you giving people more than they deserve? Grace. Or only what you think they deserve? What in your mind is fair? That is, just enough. Are you loving others based on how much you think they deserve your love, your time, your generosity? Or are you lavishing love and grace on people even if they don't deserve it? Whether it's a spouse, a child, a friend, a neighbor, or perhaps most importantly, a stranger, an enemy, someone who has wronged you, let you down, disappointed you. Someone you think is not deserving of your love and grace has, you know, put in 1 hour compared to your 12. And my life is so far from the heart of this parable. It hits every relationship in my life I can think of. But I think about it all the time. This parable, and pray all the time, Lord, I want to be filled with your generous, gracious, radical, reckless heart of love. Because it's personally very tempting to me, anyway, to show more attention and love to those who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day, so to speak. Those in the church who are faithful and consistent and always there and ready to go. It's much harder to be faithful and generous and extravagant in love and care for those who seem to be standing around doing nothing. Those who, you know, wander off for 6 months at a time, are flaky in their commitments, the ones who maybe we haven't seen or heard from since the pandemic began, who seem to leave or stop giving when we need their support the most. And it's tempting to think they don't deserve the care or the love or the generosity of the church. But God's not like that. And therefore, his people and his church cannot be like that. People should show up to God's church and be like, why are you so extravagantly loving me and blessing me? Like, I haven't done anything to deserve this. This is my first time here. Or, you know, I've been away for like a year. I haven't given to this church in 5 years. Like, why are you guys so extravagantly loving me and pouring grace and blessing out on me? And hopefully we'd be able to say, because that's just what God is like. Will we as a church equally extend grace to all? Will we say we will not treat the wealthy, the educated, those we, you know, connect with better than others? We won't have conversations with those who are only like us and easy to talk to. No, we will go out of our way to speak to those and care for those who are awkward, not like us, not easy, who maybe we feel don't deserve our gracious love or won't even respond to it well when we do give it. But none of that should determine the scale or the scope of our generous love. So here's what I want us all to do this week. One little assignment, application. Find one example, person, thing, or whatever. Find one way to extend extravagant, undeserved grace on someone who doesn't deserve it. Because that's what God did and does for you. Try participating in the unfair grace of God. And then if you want, let us know what happens, your reflections. Let's pray. Lord, we don't deserve and could never earn the kind of love you show to us. Forgive us for choosing jealousy over joy, comparison over compassion, grumbling over gratefulness. Teach us your heart. Show us your beautiful, good heart, your generous ways. Teach us to love like you love, whether people deserve it or not. Amen.